Order! Right, it's good to have Robert Ginny here. Oh, well, I mean, he's here all the time, you know. Oh, excuse me. Right, over to Richard.
Well, morning, everybody. Morning. Morning. We're going to start with the Good Friday theme, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
As we come to the Lord in prayer, first we have a special prayer for today, and that will be followed by the first reading. All right, Rita. Let us pray. God our Father, today in remembrance and awe, we tread the holy ground of Calvary, the place of abandonment that has become the scene of adoration, the place of suffering that has become the source of our peace, this place of violence that has become the battlefield on which love is victorious. Father, as we relive the events of this day, it is with awe that we count again the cost of our salvation. Words cannot be found to utter our thanksgiving. Lord, accept our silent adoration in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, please take this cup from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large army, a crowd army, with swords and clubs, sent from the high priest and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a sign with them: "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
The second song we're going to sing is Graham Kendrick Easter song, From Heaven You Came, Help Us Pray. This is our God, Servant King.
From heaven you came, help us pray. God of love, dear, servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Come see his hands and his feet. The stars that speak of sacrifice, that have come stars into space, to cruel our males surrender. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives to the daily offering of worship to the servant king.
Share with you before we join together in prayer something that has happened. Let's hope it's going to be the pathway to the future of our fellowship. I've been invited to a meeting with the leader of the council, one of the councillors for this ward, and one of the civil servants of Torbay Council. So it's just four of us, and the reason for the meeting is to discuss the new community centre. So at last we've got something much more concrete. I know that there is a place in mind, and presumably we will be discussing that. I've already suggested to the leader of the council that I cannot get a quote from Portercabin or a grant from the lottery until we know that in writing the council have approved. And so that's why this meeting is being called. It's not until May the 21st, but May the 11th, better than I thought. So that's something to be very much in prayer. We shouldn't get frustrated, but I'm sure over the years I have. 2005, the Community Association was formed, and one of the main tasks we were going to look forward to was a community centre. And quite honestly, the years have gone by, haven't they? 2005. So we're really hoping that now this will be the final meeting, will be the meeting with the council. Because in previous years, the old council always disapproved of the idea. So there we are. I just share that with you. And as we come to prayer, we know, don't we, that the world's not in the best of situations at this time. We know that when our Lord looked over Jerusalem as he entered on the first Palm Sunday, he wept. And can you imagine how our Lord must weep over what is happening in the world today? And it's affecting not only one country, but countries all around the world, really, because of the things that are happening as a result. And so I bring this special prayer today. Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we pray today for all those who continue to suffer because of war, and especially those in Ukraine, the widows, the orphans, and all who are bereaved, the wounded, the crippled, the deaf, the dumb and blinded, the shell-shocked and the traumatized, the refugees without home, work or country. Grant to them all, Lord, your healing and strength, your help and consolation, and let it be mediated wherever possible through us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the second reading will follow. Thank you, Sarah.
Oh, I haven't practiced. Jesus before Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him, neither has Herod. For he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing wrong and nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him, then release him." The whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." The third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then released him." But with loud shouts, they insincerely demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into the prison for insurrection and murder. They asked for the surrendered Jesus to their will.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died.
Once again I look upon the cross where you died.
Crucifixion. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Scar, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you,
today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon. The darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away.
Now we're going to sing Above All Powers, Above All Kings.
Thoughts on Good Friday can surely be only about the cross and all that that means to us today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. And we're told that if we want to understand the Christian message, this is what Martin Luther said: you must start with the wounds of Christ. Christ's death is central, he says, to the Christian message. In other words, it was planned by God before the foundation of the world. It was prophesied by many and in many times in the Old Testament. Jesus talked of it constantly. Paul even boasted of the cross, which was an extraordinary thing, if you think about it, for a Jew to do, since crucifixion was offensive to Jewish people. And at our communion service, of course, we celebrate the very death of Jesus. In other words, because of his death on the cross to take our punishment, our God can treat us just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. That's what justification means, of course. Just as if I've never sinned. Because we're told, aren't we, that our sins are gone from us. As far as the east is the west, etc., they are gone. As far as God is concerned, they are now forgotten. And then, when we do sin, and when we confess, God can forgive us every time. And we have spoken before, haven't we, about permanent sin. If you go on doing the same sin, that is not what God is going to forgive. He forgives the sin that we've complete or do during our Christian life. We are trying to serve God, but let's be honest, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. And so we can come to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because you know what I've just done. Yes, we have a forgiving God and he will forgive us those sins. But if we've got a sin that goes throughout our life, then we're not taking any notice, are we, of what God is saying. Repent of your sin, and you will receive forgiveness. And if we've got a perpetual sin, then let's be honest, we're not repenting. So there is the difference there. So the cross is where we find peace of mind, where we find healing of relationships, where we receive forgiveness for ourselves and a strength to forgive others. We may not find that too easy, but we need the strength that God will give us to forgive others. We can't expect God to forgive us if we can't forgive each other, surely. It is God's power over all the forces of evil. That's what forgiveness is. God will forgive those who repent and are genuine. An old Christian said this: all problems find their solution at Calvary. And I can tell you that I believe that from my own experience. I believe that man was absolutely right. All problems find their solution at Calvary. I want to finish by sharing something I know at this time in past years I might have shared with you. It's called a paradox of power. The cross is a picture of violence, yet the key to peace. It is a picture of suffering, yet the key to healing. It is a picture of death, yet the key to life. It is a picture of utter weakness, yet the key to power. It's a picture of capital punishment, yet the key to mercy and forgiveness. It's a picture of vicious hatred, yet it is the key to love. It is a picture of supreme shame, yet it is the Christian's boast. We have that in words here if you'd like to take a copy of it. But you know, where would we be without the cross? Where would we be without the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? When I first heard about the Christian faith and knew what I had been doing in my life, I didn't think anyone would forgive me. But I knew that when I met God, then I found someone who would forgive. And that is the wonderful God that we have got. A God who's loved us right from the beginning. A God who gave his only Son, the one without sin, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And if people can say, oh yeah, but you know, when Jesus died, that was it. Well, it certainly wasn't. The fact of the resurrection, which we celebrate afresh on Sunday, the presence of the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection, proves that the one who died on the cross was none other than Jesus, the Son of God. God came into the world in the form of Jesus to make that great and wonderful sacrifice. And we should surely be forever thankful. God bless you. Amen.
Well, the final hymn is In Christ Alone. My hope is found, he is my light, my strength, my song. And the song tells the story of Easter and beyond. The third verse looking to Easter Sunday with then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. So it's a lovely song with lovely words. In Christ Alone.
Alone.
Join together and hold hands and say the grace. You up, dear? All right. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for the readings.